Well, I appreciate you all being here this morning. We are in the middle of what some might call a cold snap. It was kind of amazing, you know. I checked AccuWeather this morning and they said, well, there's a wind chill advisory, but it ends at noon. And then they said, but there's another one that starts at 8. So, yeah, they say, well, you got to be very careful, you know, just 30 minutes outside and you can get frostbite. But praise God, you know what? It's nice and warm in here. Praise the Lord. And I do remember, as a kid sometimes, there would be Sundays we'd get here and the furnace wouldn't be working. But thank God, we have a nice, high-efficiency, functioning furnace. Praise God. So it's good to be here this morning. We are going to open with a prayer and then we are going to worship God. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace, thanking thee, O God, for thy call. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless this service today. I pray that thy spirit would be here. I pray that thy presence would be here. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto thee, as we worship thee. I pray, O God, that everything we do here today would be blessed of thee, ordained of thee, lead and guide and direct us in all things we pray, and preside over this entire service we ask. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our chorus books to begin with, and we're going to turn to number 25 and sing, Let Go and Let God Have His Way, number 25.
Let go and let God have His way.
We're going to turn now to number 13 and sing, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, number 13.
Thou art the Potter.
now number 91 and sing Without Him, number 91. What we ought to be. We need him to make us Christians. You know, the word Christian means to be Christ-like, and it should be our desire to be like Christ. So we're going to open our hymnals now, our Melodies of Praise hymnals, and turn to number 43. I got the wrong number here. Let's see, it's 42, Oh to Be Like Thee, number 42.
Oh to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of sin's treasures, Jesus, thy prayer. deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the faint.
Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 185, and we are going to sing The Fire is Burning. That's a good one for today, isn't it? Praise God. It may be cold outside, but we can have that fire of God burning in our hearts. Number 185.
I've been on Mount Pisgah's lofty height, and I've satisfied my longing heart's desire. For I caught a glimpse of glory bright, and my soul is burning with the fire. Oh, the fire is burning, yes, 'tis brightly burning. Heavenly and beyond. I see the haven I desire. There I view the beacon lights of home, and my soul is burning with oh, the fire is burning, yes, it is brightly burning, oh, it is burning.
Thankful for his spirit that he pours out upon us and that fire that he gives us. Praise God. We are going to take up the collection now. Chuck, could you help us with that, please? Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank you this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank you, O God, for all that thou hast given us, for all that thou hast done for us. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead this ministry. I pray, O God, that we would be ever mindful of thee, ever seeking thy will, asking, O God, for thy direction and for thy perfect plan in these days ahead. I pray that thou would continue to guide and direct us in all things, for we need thy help so very much. We would be completely lost without thee. But I am thankful, we are thankful, that thou art our great King, our great Savior, our great Captain, so much to us. Thou art everything to us, and I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead us by thy mighty hand. I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we are going to sing one more song, and we're going to turn now to number 19, Deeper, Deeper. That was a good one to sing right before we get started in the scriptures, isn't it? Number 19, Deeper, Deeper. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, he let me go.
Holy.
Well, we are going to be getting started in the scriptures in just a moment, but before we do that, there are a couple of things I would like to pray about. For one thing, my mother-in-law, she's still recovering from her surgery. She had a detached retina, and the surgery went well, but her vision is still blurry. The doctor said that's because there's still some swelling in her eye. So we're going to pray for her for a complete healing of that, and then my niece, Alyssa, has been having seizures, and they don't know why. But the doctors are trying to figure that out, so we're going to pray for her as well. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning on behalf of my mother-in-law, Linda. I pray, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch her. We pray, O God, for a complete healing. We pray for a complete restoration of her eyesight. We pray, O God, that it would be better than it was before. Let her feel thy presence. Let her feel thy touch. Let her feel thy spirit upon her. And I pray, O God, that she would be blessed of thee. Touch her, we pray, and heal her. For we know, O God, that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our mighty working God. We know that nothing is impossible with thee. Nothing is too hard for thee. So we just pray and ask, O God, that thou would touch Linda right now. Heal her completely, we ask, and we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we also come before thee in prayer this day on behalf of Alyssa, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch her, speak to her soul, speak to her heart. Help her, O God, to reach out to thee, to draw nigh to thee, to forsake any evil way. But we pray, O God, that she would put her faith, her hope, her trust in thee. We pray, O God, that thou would touch her and help her. We know, God, that nothing is impossible, nothing too hard for thee. We know that there's nothing that is a mystery to thee. And we know that what the doctors may stumble with, thou has the answers to. So we pray, O God, that all would be well with her. We pray, O God, that she would reach out to thee. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to dive into the Word of God. And that's always a wonderful thing to do, isn't it? Praise God. And as I always do, I'm putting a title on this message. And we're going to call this message today, Understanding the Scriptures. Understanding the Scriptures. Now, there are a lot of people who have access to the Bible. There are a lot of people who may even read the Bible, although not as many as there should be. But how can we understand the Scriptures? People can read this book. They can read it from cover to cover and not understand one word of it. We need God's help to understand this word. We need our spiritual eyes to be open. You know, scholars, they read this book all the time, and usually what they do, they look for flaws. They try to find inconsistencies and problems with the Scriptures, and they say, well, we don't think this happened, this happened. We don't think this happened. You know, they go right down the line, casting doubt. So they read the Scriptures, but they don't understand the Scriptures. And there's something we need to understand God's Word, and that is faith. If you read the Scriptures with faithless eyes, you're not going to comprehend it. You're not going to understand it. But our understanding of God's Word comes from the Lord Himself, comes from Jesus. In fact, Jesus told us that His Spirit, the Comforter, would be our teacher.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So yes, we need the Lord. And we...
Yeah.
You know, we do need to understand the Scriptures. It's very important because a lot of people don't. And it's easy to get mixed up because you look at some of these things the churches are teaching and they're not even in the Bible. They're teaching things that aren't in the Word of God. And there are churches out there who say, well, we're going to disregard this part of the Bible because we don't like it. You know, and a lot of these churches nowadays, they say they're welcoming and affirming, and they say, well, to the homosexuals, you know, come on in, come on in. We don't have a problem with you. You know, God loves you. Come on in. But they completely ignore all those verses in the Bible that tell us that sort of thing, that sort of lifestyle is a heinous sin against God. But that's the way churches are nowadays. They'll keep the parts they like. They'll keep the verses that say God is love. And, you know, they'll keep John 3:16. They'll keep verses like that. And, of course, they love judge not that ye be not judged. Verses like that. They'll take what they like, but they disregard the rest. We need to take this whole book and understand this whole book to the best of our ability. Now, I'm not saying that I understand everything about the Scriptures. I'm saying I am a work in progress, just like every one of us. You know, if Dad were still here, he'd tell us the same thing. He doesn't know everything about the Bible, everything about the Word of God, but we do continually learn new things, and God is always showing us new things, and that, of course, is very wonderful. So we are going to start in Acts chapter 8 to begin with this morning. But before we read even one verse, we're going to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for thy grace, for this blessed book that thou hast given us. And I pray, O God, that as we look upon this word, I pray that our eyes would be open. I pray that our hearts would be open. I pray that thou would give us great understanding of thy Scriptures. I pray, O God, that thou would give us the spirit of discernment, the spirit of comprehension. Help us, O God. Give us the ability to see thy word for what it is. Inspire us, O God. Speak to our hearts. Mold us and shape us as we look upon thy Scriptures. I pray, O God, that thou would bless this time together, this fellowship together in thy word. I pray, O God, that as we look upon this word, that our hearts would be set aflame with thy Spirit, set on fire for thee. Inspire us, O God, to reach out to thee, to draw nigh to thee, to focus on thee with a whole heart. Help us, O God, to turn our minds to thee and give you our full and complete attention. I pray, O God, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand, and let there be no hindrances here this morning, but let thy Spirit have free course. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are going to start in Acts chapter 8 to begin with. You know, there are a lot of people who might pick up the Bible and they're inspired by it, and they don't quite understand it, but they know that there's something there, something special. And we know that the Word of God is something special. We know that this book is something special. This is the inspired Word of God. And in this book, we find the complete plan of salvation. But there was a man who lived long ago, a man who was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was a very important man, and a man who obviously loved the Lord. Yeah. It tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." Now, this man, he was a very important man. He was the treasurer for Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he had an important job. But there was something that was even more important, and that was that he loved the Lord, quite obviously. You know, he was on his way home, and there he was in that chariot. Somebody else must have been driving it. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah is wonderful. If you ever read the book of Isaiah, you're going to learn something very quickly. The book of Isaiah is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find Jesus Christ all throughout that book of Isaiah. You will read all about our Messiah, how he would come, and he did come, and those prophecies were fulfilled. But here this man is reading from the book of Isaiah. He is reading Isaiah chapter 53. And of course we know that that is a beautiful chapter. It's all about our Savior and what he did for us, how he died for us, how he took our iniquities upon himself. Oh, it's a wonderful chapter. And this man was reading that. He didn't quite understand it, but obviously the Lord was speaking to his heart. So there he was in his chariot reading Isaiah, and verse 29 tells us, "Then The Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So this man, he was asking for help. He was saying to Philip, Please come up here, explain this to me. I want to know what this means. And, you know, he says here, How can I, except some man should guide me? And we know that God does use people. God does use people, but he speaks through us, and it's really him doing the guiding. So, verse 32 tells us the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So he was reading this and wondering what this is all about. Verse 34 tells us, And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Oh, I love this enthusiasm. You know, it didn't take a lot of scripture to convict this man's heart. It didn't take a lot of scripture for him to see the necessity of baptism, of repentance of sins, of being washed in that water and being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, all it took was Isaiah chapter 53. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
But he didn't hesitate. He didn't say, well, maybe later on down the road I'll get baptized. He said, here's water. What's hindering me? What's stopping me? What's preventing me from being baptized right now? And Philip's response is verse 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a transformation. You know, he just a short time before this, he was reading that book of Isaiah, and he didn't understand it. He didn't understand Isaiah 53, but Philip came and he preached Jesus, and that man realized, yes, this all makes sense. I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I want to be filled with his Spirit. Praise God. I love that enthusiasm from this man. Philip's response, I'll read it again. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So obviously, I'm sure Philip preached repentance to this man as well, because we know that repentance is necessary. But the first step is to believe in Jesus. That's the first thing you have to do. You believe on the Lord Jesus, then you repent of your sins, and you're baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And verse 38 tells us, And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Well, look at there. You can even find teleportation in the Bible. The Lord just took Philip and moved him to a different place. And that's something scientists would love to figure out. But God can do anything. And there's nothing impossible with God. And verse 40 tells us, But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. You know, things change when you start to understand God's Word, when He opens your eyes to the Scripture and you can perceive and understand His Word, everything changes. And because of those changes in this man, he wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. You know, when you come across people who think that baptism isn't necessary or that they don't want to be baptized, you know what that tells me? They do not understand the scriptures. Certainly not fully and certainly not completely. They do not understand the scriptures. If you understand the word of God, if he has spoken to your heart, you will want to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But we're going to turn now to Luke chapter 24. It's an exciting chapter. This is the story of what happened to Jesus after he rose from the dead. Praise God. And yes, he did rise from the dead. There may be naysayers out there, but he is risen, and he is still risen today. He is alive forevermore. Praise God.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Jesus Christ is never going to die again. And because of that, we don't have to die either. Praise the Lord. But Luke chapter 24, and it tells us in verse 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre." So these women came planning to anoint the body of Jesus. And of course, they weren't even sure how they were going to roll that stone away. It was very heavy. It was impossible to do just on their own human strength. But they must have believed somehow that they would be able to move that stone, or that that stone would be rolled away for them. And when they got there, that stone was rolled away. But that stone was rolled away because Jesus was no longer in that tomb. He had risen. And verse 3 tells us, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." And they'll never find that body because he is alive forevermore. He is risen. Praise God. That should fill our hearts with joy. Verse 4, "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He told them everything that was going to happen. They had forgotten, but their memory was being refreshed right here. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." And they did have a lot of Marys back there. That was a very common name. But it was these women who first discovered that Jesus was no longer in that grave. He was no longer in that tomb. So they went and they told the disciples, they told the apostles, and they couldn't believe it at first. It seemed impossible to them. And you know what? By the world standards, it was impossible. But God specializes in the impossible.
Amen.
So they went and they told the apostles, and verse 11 tells us, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, impetuous Peter." He thought, "Well, I'm going to go check this out for myself. I have to see this for myself." Notice he didn't just slowly walk to that sepulchre, it tells us. "Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooped down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Oh yes, they wondered at this, but Jesus told them ahead of time that this was going to happen, that he would rise from the dead. And Jesus here was going to appear unto some other disciples who were out walking one day. It tells us in verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Have you ever wondered how many times Jesus has been there with us, right there with us, and we didn't recognize him? Here he was walking with these men, these two men, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, God robed in flesh. They didn't recognize him yet, but they were going to. Their eyes were going to be opened. He was going to be revealed to them. And verse 17 tells us, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So in other words, Jesus is asking them, why are you so sad? What are you so sad about? What seems to be the problem here? Verse 18, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? In other words, he's asking, don't you know what just happened? How Jesus, that mighty prophet, was taken and crucified on that cross and buried, and now his body has disappeared. Verse 19, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. Now, that's true, he was a prophet. Jesus Christ was prophet, priest, and king. But he was so much more than that. And these two men had not yet had their eyes opened. They did not yet have a complete understanding of the scriptures. And that's why they referred to Jesus here as a prophet. Mighty indeed, but they didn't fully understand who Jesus is yet. But he is going to walk them through it. Quite literally, because they were going for a walk. Praise God. So he asked them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They were saying, we thought he was going to be the one who would come and redeem Israel and set up an earthly kingdom and overthrow the Romans. You see, that's what the Jews thought would happen. They read all those prophecies about the Messiah, and they thought that the Messiah would come in and overthrow the Romans and set up a kingdom on earth. And isn't it funny, isn't it strange how people believe that Jesus is going to come back and set up a kingdom on earth? Even though he specifically said, my kingdom is not of this world. He didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. His kingdom is firmly established for all eternity in heaven. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But he didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom. And they didn't realize this yet because they didn't fully understand the scriptures yet. But they would. Praise God. So they thought this was going to be the one, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who would redeem Israel. And you know what he did? He came to seek, he came to save. And you know what? He didn't just redeem Israel. He didn't just redeem the Jewish people who would believe on him, but he redeemed us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
According to the book of Matthew, he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Praise God.
Amen.
But verse 22 tells us, yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, you can go back to the Old Testament. You can read the Old Testament. And you look at Genesis. You see God created the world, and it was beautiful. It was perfect. And then sin came in there. And after sin came the necessity for a Messiah. And God promised that there would be a Messiah. And from that point on, in Genesis chapter 3, from that point on, you can read all throughout the Old Testament. And you can read about Jesus. You can read about the Savior that would come, the Messiah that would come. In fact, Genesis 3:15 is the very first messianic prophecy, which says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Yes, Jesus came, and he was victorious over the devil. But that verse was talking about Jesus. And of course we know there's Genesis 49:10, which tells us, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And we know that Shiloh there refers to the Lord Jesus. He would come, he would seek, he would save, he would gather the people unto himself. And Jesus, no doubt, while speaking to these men, must have gone to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which tells us, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. He must have gone to Isaiah 9:6, which tells us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Oh yes, that's another verse about the Lord Jesus, and he is all of those things. He must have gone to Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Praise God. You know, our own righteousness is as filthy rags, but the Lord is our righteousness.
Yes, praise the Lord.
He must have gone to Micah 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." He must have gone to Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." You know how you know that the king being talked about in that verse is Jesus? Because Jesus came having salvation. No other king can save you. No other king can save us. Only Jesus has that salvation. Praise God.
And
you can read all throughout the Old Testament. You can read Psalms about Jesus. Psalm 2. In fact, why don't we go there now for a moment? Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2. All about the Lord Jesus. Psalm 2, verse 1 tells us, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers took counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." Oh yes, they did that, didn't they? When Jesus came, they tried to destroy him. They took counsel against him. They did everything they could to destroy the Lord Jesus, the anointed one. But it tells us the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers took counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, O Zion. Who is that king? That is Jesus. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of thee, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You know, Jesus has been given all power in heaven and in earth, the scriptures tell us in Matthew, and he is the very image of the invisible God. God robed in flesh. All power is in the Lord Jesus. There is no name greater. You know what this means, right? Jesus is God, very God. And so many people have trouble understanding that. So many people don't believe that. But you have to understand that Jesus is God. Amen. He has all power. It is his inheritance. We are in his inheritance. And he gathered us from the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You know, if you want to receive that salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something you have to do, and that is put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Notice here when it says, kiss the Son, that verse, that's S-O-N. That is talking about the Lord Jesus. Amen. We must put our trust in him. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Our faith must be in him. We are saved by our faith in him. By repenting of our sins and putting our faith in him. Oh yes, you can read so many verses in the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus. Psalm 22. We might as well go there now since we're in the book of Psalms anyway. Psalm 22. And of course, this chapter is truly amazing because there are so many things in this chapter that were directly and clearly fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. There's no ambiguity here as to who this is talking about. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And of course we know that Jesus said those same words as he hung on that cross, as he gave up the ghost. He said, it is finished, but he also said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Oh, yes, he was despised. He was reproached. He was scorned, wasn't he? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and those people laughed and they mocked. And they said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Oh, yes. This is all fulfilled in the finished work at Calvary. But they didn't realize something when they were laughing at Jesus, when they were approaching him, despising him. They didn't realize something on that cross, which he went to voluntarily. He was paying the price for our sins. He was winning the victory over the devil.
Amen.
For us.
Praise you, Lord.
They didn't know that. And if the devil had known that, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9 tells us, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion." And of course, the bulls here aren't referring to literal bulls, but yes, they gaped at Jesus, didn't they, with their mouths. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death." And of course, we remember when Jesus went to that cross, he was thirsty, wasn't he? "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Yes, they did, didn't they? They went and they checked that body of Jesus, and they were surprised at how quickly he had died on that cross. So they pierced his hands, they pierced his feet, and they nailed him to that cross. This is all fulfilled here. When they ran that sword through his side later, which we also read about in the scriptures, blood and water came forth. Also fulfilled. You know, it says in 14, "I am poured out like water." So you can see all of this fulfilled in Jesus. They nailed his hands, his feet to that cross, and they stabbed him with that sword in his side. Oh, yes, all of this fulfilled. Verse 18, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." That happened too, didn't it? They took his garment and they parted it. They gambled for it. They cast lots for it. They didn't want to destroy it because it was a precious garment with no seam, so they thought, "We will cast lots for it." Even that happened. Verse 19, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. And the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations."
Praise the Lord.
Oh yes, Jesus is the real king. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. There is none greater. And every earthly king, every earthly emperor, every earthly authority figure, prime minister, governor, president, they are all subject to the will of God. They are all subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people don't want to accept that, but that is the case. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. You know, after Jesus came and gave his life for us, a people were born. A church was born.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's why we're here today, because of what He did for us. Oh yes, you can read all throughout the Bible. There are so many prophecies regarding the Lord Jesus. So many prophecies that were fulfilled. Let's go back to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 27 tells us, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." And He no doubt went to those places in scripture that we just read. And there are many more that we could go to, but we don't have time to go to all of them today. Verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And then He went in to tarry with them." So even at this point, they didn't know who He was. They didn't fully understand, but they knew that there was something special about this man that they were talking to. He was explaining to them in detail the scriptures, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He explained to them the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the minor prophets. Oh yes, you could find Jesus all throughout the scriptures. He explained these words to them. He explained the Psalms to them. They knew that there was something special about this man. So Jesus, as they were walking, He made it seem like he was going to keep going, but they asked Him, "Please come with us." They constrained Him, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. They finally recognized Him. They finally could see Him. Their eyes of faith were opened. They recognized their Savior right before their very eyes. And then when they finally realized who it was, He vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, "And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us when He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the scriptures?" When Jesus speaks to you, and He does still speak to His people, your heart will be burning. It'll be burning with the fire. And He gives us understanding of His word, of His scriptures. Verse 33, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." He just appeared out of nowhere. Suddenly there He was. And He said, "Peace be unto you." Jesus can say that because He is the Prince of Peace. Verse 37, "But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit." You know, it's really something. He comes and He says, "Peace be unto you." And they're scared. They're doing the exact opposite of what He told them to do. Be at peace. Have peace in your hearts. But they were terrified. They were affrighted. And verse 38 tells us, "And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet, which had been pierced, just as we read. In Psalm 22, when he went to that cross, they pierced his hands and his feet. And verse 41 tells us, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And when it says they yet believed not for joy, it's just one of those situations where you hear people, they see something surprising and say, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. That's really the same sort of thing that's happening here. And verse 42 tells us, and they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And Jesus must have really liked fish, because there are numerous examples of him eating fish throughout the scriptures. And it does turn out fish is very healthy, isn't it? But he obviously liked it, and they gave him fish, and they gave him a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Yes, he specifically mentions even the Psalms. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh yes, he opened their understanding. We need God to open our understanding. No one else is going to do it. The only way we're going to be able to understand the scriptures is if he opens our understanding to them. And yes, sometimes he does use people, but he has to open their understanding before they can explain it to anybody else. So really, the understanding comes from the Lord Jesus. But you look at the Bible. You can read Genesis to Revelation, and there is a theme. And that theme throughout this book is Jesus. You know, you think of those Jewish people who don't believe on the Lord Jesus, and it's very sad, because they have their Old Testament scriptures, and they'll read it in ceremonies at specific times on specific calendar dates, but they don't understand it. They don't understand those verses about the Lord Jesus. He came and they missed it. A lot of them missed it. Some believed, thank God, and some still believe, but they missed the whole point of the Word of God. They missed the whole thing, and they're still waiting for a Messiah. They're still looking. He already came. And next time when he comes back, he's coming to judge. But he came to seek and to save. And a lot of them missed the whole point. You see, that's what happens when you don't understand the scriptures. We need to understand the point of this book is Jesus Christ. You can read about the perfection of the creation, and then you can read about the fall of man. And from that point, we have the promise of the Messiah. And you can read all about the history of the Israelites, how they were constantly backsliding and turning to idols and false gods. And you see in those stories the necessity of a Savior.
Amen.
Oh yes, all throughout the Old Testament you see the necessity of a Savior. It's all about Jesus, looking to him. And then he came as our Savior. And we look back to that point. And really, when Jesus came and died on that cross, that was the focal point of time and history. It's almost as if time stopped. And you know, that's even noted in our calendars, isn't it? 2018. Why are we in the year 2018? Because it's supposed to have been about 2018 years since Jesus was here on earth. Of course, we know, well, it's not quite 2018, but it will be tomorrow. So even in time, we see the Savior. It's noted on our calendars that that's why we're in the year 2017 going on 2018, because of Jesus. And you know, the years prior to that, they're called B.C. before Christ. And following the life of Christ, we have A.D., which means Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And yes, it is still the year of our Lord, because he is still with us. He is still our King. He is still saving souls.
Amen.
Of course, you know, a lot of these scholars, they don't like that very much, so they'll change it to BCE, and they'll change it to CE, after the life of Jesus. They changed that to CE, which means common era, and BCE means before common era, but nevertheless, it still stands that that is the event that changed history forever. Jesus is the point of this book. And if you don't understand that, if you don't know who he is, you're not going to understand the scriptures. But it tells us in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Praise God. It doesn't tell us that the preaching of repentance and remission of sins is just for the Jews. It does tell us that it starts at Jerusalem, but it moved on from there. Praise God. "And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." What is that promise that he is talking about? It is the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's why he told them, go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Because our power that we are endued with is the Spirit of God, is the Holy Ghost. And you can read all about that in Acts chapter 2. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
So Jesus, he is the point. He is the reason for this book. And really, understanding the scriptures is synonymous with understanding Jesus to the best of our human ability. Oh no, you're not going to comprehend everything about God, but to have any comprehension whatsoever, you must have your understanding opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that for us. Praise God. You know, there are a lot of things that people believe that are from the scriptures that aren't even in the Bible. There are a lot of words that people like to use that aren't even in the Bible. Did you know that you won't find the word rapture anywhere in the Bible? It's not in there. Another word you're not going to find in the scriptures is millennium. It's not in there. And another good one that you'll never find, a word that is so popular nowadays, you'll never find the word tolerance in the Bible. You know, people talk about being tolerant, but you look at these liberals and really the only thing they're tolerant of is sin. If you dare go against them, suddenly they're not so tolerant anymore. If you dare tell them the truth, suddenly they're not so tolerant anymore. But, you know, there are a lot of things that people believe are in the Word of God that actually aren't in there. And one of those things, I found this little list here, one of these things that people commonly believe is in the Bible is, "This too shall pass." But actually, that's a Persian proverb. Another thing people tend to believe is in the Bible but isn't in there is, "Cleanliness is next to godliness." But that's actually from the Talmud. And another scripture they often twist is, "Money is the root of all evil." That's not what it says, is it? 1 Timothy tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And you're not going to find any story of a little drummer boy in the Bible. You know, some people think that that's in there, but you're not going to find it. And a lot of people have this false belief that the forbidden fruit was an apple. In fact, they even named a body part after that, didn't they? The Adam's apple. And, you know, because according to legend, Adam ate that forbidden fruit and it got stuck in his throat, you know, and that's why men have these Adam's apples now. No, there's no mention of an apple. Another one that's quite popular that people seem to think is a scripture is, "God helps those who help themselves." It's not in there. In fact, Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And then some people, I might even think that this popular saying, to thine own self be true, is from the Bible. It's not. That's Shakespeare. Another popular one, love the sinner, hate the sin. Not in there. Actually, St. Augustine said something similar to that, and so did Gandhi. But you're not going to find that in the Bible. So there are all sorts of things in the Scripture that all sorts of things that people believe are in the Scripture that aren't there, and the reason they think that those things are in the Bible is because they don't understand the Word of God and they don't read the Word of God. It's very important that we understand His Word. And people complicate it so much. They come up with these strange doctrines, you know, these weird theories. But if we take the Bible and believe what it says, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. In fact, most of the time, the Bible means exactly what it says. Now, there are some times when it uses word pictures and metaphors, and the book of Revelation is a prime example of that. And you know why so many people get confused about the book of Revelation? Because they forget that it is word pictures. They forget that it is metaphors. They forget that it was signified to John. So they go into Revelation and they start taking all sorts of things literally that should not be taken literally. And their understanding of the Scriptures is confused. And because of this misunderstanding of the Scriptures, you've got Schofieldism and all of these false doctrines regarding the coming of the Lord and the tribulation and all of these things. People are confused.
That's right.
So it's very important that the Lord Jesus opens our understanding of His Word. And He will help us. As you study this book, there may be some things you don't understand at first, but the more you study it, the more He will open your eyes. And the more you will see things like you'd never seen them before. His Spirit will be working in you, and He will open your eyes to the Scriptures. He will give you the understanding you need. Oh, what a blessing that is. But before He can do that, we must submit our hearts to God. We must repent of our sins. We must be buried in His name. We must be filled with His Spirit. And He will give us the understanding we so desperately need. Oh yes, there's confusion all over the place out there, but the Word of God is true. It always will be. Praise the Lord. So, it is my hope and prayer that God will continue to teach us, that Jesus will continue to open our understanding of His Word. And like I said, I'm still learning. We all are. There's a lot in here. But He's always showing us new things, isn't He? Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, thanking Thee, O God, for Thy blessed Scripture, thanking Thee for the promise of understanding. And I pray, O God, that Thou would open our hearts, O God. I pray that Thou would fill our very souls with Thy Spirit. I pray, O God, that we would walk with Thee day and night, be mindful of Thee each and every morning, each and every day. I pray, O God, that we would follow hard after Thee, be obedient to Thy will. Open our eyes, give us the understanding we need, O God, for we need Thy understanding so much in this lost and dying world, this confusing world. But we know, O God, that Thou knowest all things, that Thou art the Almighty, and that Thou understandest all things. There is no lack of understanding or wisdom or knowledge with Thee. And I pray, O God, that we would be fully given to Thee, fully obedient to Thee. Open our understandings today, we pray, and in the days ahead, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to sing a chorus in closing. Actually, this one is more of a song. Praise God. I believe it's number 178. Yes, His name is wonderful. Number 178. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Lord.